You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning. This is a wonderful orange Sunday, isn't it? Oh, we're in our second week of Adventure in Faith and our theme of shifting into freedom based on the book and work of Locke Kelly and the book Shift into Freedom. So today we're going to be looking at and working with glimpsing all the way home. And as we do that, I'd like to join together in saying our affirmations. So let us do that together now. Together. I am unhooking. I am experiencing local awareness. I am aware of awareness. I am going through the gap of not knowing. I am having small glimpses many times. And I'm shifting into freedom. So allow those words to inspire you, to open you, and invite you to close your eyes as we bring in the power of our collective prayer brought forward by Gail Hamley. Beloved One, essence of all that is. In this moment, I shift into freedom. This quiet stillness leads my breath. And it leads my awareness. I breathe in. I breathe out, in, out. I am aware of a unifying sacredness in the stillness, in my breath, in my awareness. I shift into freedom. Oneness. And so it is. Amen. Are you warming to the material? You love it. All right. We've got one. How many of you are still finding it a little challenging?
We're warming.
Thawing. So did the glimpse of light help, that weekly email? Hopefully that did. Yes, good. Well, you'll be getting more. So it's hopefully going to continue to help. What I'm aware of is it's really interesting. I loved going to France, and it felt really powerful. But what's been really interesting was that since I've come back, it feels like I'm still there in some way. And I've been dreaming a lot about, especially Paris. And I saw recently a little plaque about a French bistro, you know, thing. And I got it so I could put it in my kitchen. And so there's something still working me. And I was, as I was sitting with, what could this possibly mean? I was reminded that what we're doing right now is for some of us learning a whole new language and maybe even a whole new culture of how to show up. You know, when I went to France, so there are things that they do that we don't, and things that we do that they don't. And, you know, no judgment of whether it's right or wrong. There's just different cultures or different ways of showing up in the world. Well, similarly, with the work that we're doing, there are different ways that we're learning how to show up in the world. And that can be challenging, that we're learning There's a study that Locke Kelly quotes about neurons that fire together, wire together. We're learning new wiring, or new wiring is being built within our framework of how to live and show up in the world that is counter to what most of us have been exposed to. Even in a lot of our meditation techniques and trainings, there's this relationship of seeing everything still through the mind, through thought and emotion, and learning how to work with it. But there comes a point when there's a wall that you can't break through. What we're working with is a whole new way of showing up in the world, a new culture. So for some of us, we're learning a new language. I went to France really expecting, I took high school French a few years ago, and I took some college French, and I boned up on my phrases like, I'd like to, you know, get a drink, or I'd like to eat, or how much is this, and all of those things. When I got to France, however, they weren't going to know my accent. I was so proud that I've been told I have a good accent. Well, they could spot me a mile away once I opened my mouth. So there's a new language that I thought I was proficient at, but it turns out I have some work to do still. But it doesn't mean I can't learn. Same thing with the language that we're being exposed to and shift into freedom. Some of you, the Buddhist language particularly, or even the psychological realm of language, might be a new language. It's a good language to know. It's worth putting in the effort. For some of you, this might be you're learning a new dialect. So whatever level of engagement, whatever level of challenge this is, it's worth the investment. Because what I'm finding personally, and for some of you, you might be finding this as well, that there's a fluidity that is getting developed within me of being able to move consciousness around in a way that I haven't before, or awareness around that I haven't before, specifically and particularly out away from the idea of my thoughts being how I see reality. And it's interesting because we work with, in unity, with thoughts held in mind manifest after their kind, right? And here, when we go through new member orientation and reception, I talk about that is one of the basic principles of unity, that the thoughts that you hold in your mind manifest after their kind. And we teach here that it is also important to go beyond thought. There's a level of consciousness and awareness that is prior to thought. And really, there is no unique thought. We're just hooking in to certain thoughts and calling them mine. But they're really not. So this work that we're doing is actually about going to that ground of being, what he calls awake awareness, or spacious awareness, to be more specific, that is the formless, contentless ground, the source from which all arises. And that becomes our orientation. So the glimpse practices, what he calls these peek, like P-E-E-K, these peeking into reality, is being cultivated more and more. Did anyone see the, especially in chapter 5, he has a lot of really great studies that he talks about. And there was one from a psychologist or a researcher that studied the brain cells. There was a fMRI scan. Did anyone see that? And if you haven't, when you get to it, this will hopefully give you great encouragement. Because he talks about, or he references, that this psychologist discovered that our brains are never quiet. he was measuring people and giving them tasks of things to do. It was Marcus Rauschel, and he developed this idea of the default mode network. So he was giving people tasks, and he was noticing that the brain was firing, or blood flow was happening in a very specific way, and he called that task-positive network. And then he told them just to rest. And whether he meant to or not, he left the machines on his head or whatever, however the machine is hooked up. He left it running and noticed that the brain, instead of stopping or resting, just shifted to another area of the brain. And that started working. And what he called that was the default mode network. And he said that this is where we are perpetually dissatisfied, and there's a mini-me operating us unconsciously. This is where we're primarily self-referencing, and our thoughts, our to-do lists, our negative, just this constant litany of chatter is happening all the time. That's what he calls the default mode network. So it reminded me of that old saying, idle hands are the devil's playthings. I think Mary Jean and I actually commented about that as well. So there is something a little bit to that, that our brain is always active. So instead of paying attention to it, he says a really important tool is to start to give it mindfulness or awareness practices that shift us out of focusing on that or taking it as real. There is such a powerful awareness, and I really had never heard this quite before, of considering our thoughts and our mind as a sixth sense. Reflect on just how powerful it is to start to see our thoughts. And when I say thoughts, I also mean emotions. Our thoughts and emotions as a sixth sense, like input, just like sound, or touch, or taste. It's sensory input that gives us information. Can you imagine primarily basing your sense of reality on what you hear only? Or what you feel only? Everything is seen first through that sense. And yet that's exactly what we do with our mind, with our thoughts. We see the world first and foremost through our thoughts and through our emotions. So he offers a couple of really great ways to glimpse into another reality. And it's wonderful confirmation that this is not usually a sustained something. He quotes another psychologist, William James, who says there is no such thing as a voluntary attention sustained for more than a few seconds. Anyone noticed that? Anyone tried to meditate? It's like, I have it. Oh, I know it. I'm there. No, I'm not. That's part of this ongoing small glimpses. And instead of being in opposition to that, accepting and honoring and welcoming even that. He says, sustained voluntary attention is repetition of successive efforts which bring us back to this ground of being. So there's a couple of really great ways that we're going to be working with this ability to shift out of seeing the world first through our thoughts and our emotions. And it starts with what we talked about last week, which was unhooking. Anyone practice unhooking this week? So just to recap and to give a little more depth and breadth, on page 57, he talks about four expressions of awake awareness. So he gets pretty technical, and yet it's helpful, especially when he starts using these terms. So the four expressions, not separate things, but four expressions, like if you have a hand, you wouldn't say that one finger is separate from the hand. It's just different ways of seeing them or different uses. So the first one, the first expression of awake awareness is what he calls local awareness. And this is the movability of awareness, where we're able to shift from having our center of awareness in our forehead or our head into our toe or into our chest or into our hand or into another part of the world. There's a movability and a dynamic energy about it, that we actually can unhook from thought, is really powerful. The face before you were born. It also means that you can move between formless and form. You're not stuck in a sense of this is the only thing I am, is this body. It both is the microcosm and the macrocosm, the small and the expansive, the large. And it knows from within its location. It's not a subject-object relation, like I'm seeing me and then I'm seeing Bonnie and there's a separation there. Local awareness is that aspect of awake awareness that can see from inside her. That doesn't know separation. And that she can see inside me. This is where some of your psychic phenomenon will come in. So the next expression that he talks about is spacious awareness. And this is the ground of all being. This is the timeless dimension, the boundless, the changeless, the formless, a lot of lesses. It's also our source of identity, our true nature, our divine nature. He likens it to the sky, and that's open and free. And then he talks about awake awareness embodied, which is this coming back and including both the spaciousness, the formless, and the form. There's a marriage, and there's an ability to hold paradox. We are both form and formless. Everything, thought patterns, material things, are seen as waves of energy. This is what in Unity we work with the creative process, coming from formless into form, giving birth to an idea into manifestation, and seeing it as divine, the whole as divine. And then open-hearted awareness is the last expression of awake awareness that he talks about. And this is where we know through unconditional love what Patty so beautifully showed and demonstrated in the last couple of years this interconnectedness with all things, with all relationships. And so there's a capacity, there's an embodiment that includes creativity and compassion. So these are the different ways that awake awareness will show up, and these glimpses are cultivating this capacity. So the glimpse that we started with last week was about unhooking, dropping, opening, seeing, including, knowing, and letting be. And I heard it was a little challenging for some of you because you move kind of quick. So I want to look through that just a little bit more to give a sense of what it's opening. And the main piece, I think once we get the unhooking piece, the rest will really be pretty easy. But this unhooking from seeing through thoughts first. It's like we're ready to let it go, and then, but no, we're not. I watched my best friend's girls on Friday night. One is 4 and one is 18 months. So the 4-year-old and I are BFFs. The 18-month-old and I are becoming BFFs. But she still is pretty attached to mama. So I watched her alone a couple of weeks ago, and this happened then, and it happened again on Friday night. So mom and dad leave for dinner, and we're playing, and it takes 2 seconds for the 18-month Kate to go, "Mama, Mama!" And so then Julie and I would distract her, and she'd be laughing. And then I could just see her like, "Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be upset." And she'd pick up, "Mama, Mama!" And then we would distract her. And it was, I could just see her literally just going back to the well of, "Wait a minute, what's that thought that I'm supposed to be upset about? This is what we do." And it happened for the whole evening. She, in fact, at one point, I almost took a picture because it was sad and funny at the same time. Tears coming down, just very tragic. But then Julia would be, you know, do something, and she would laugh. "Mama, Mama." So I'm reading her, and I get 5 pages into the book, and she goes, "99, 99. She was just done. So I'm like, "All right." And, you know, and when it's a kid, it's a lot easier to, you know, see it for what it is. When it's us having a drama, it's, or our friend, or our, you know, someone that we are, you know, connected with in a more meaningful way, or that it affects us in some way, it's a little easier to get caught in the drama of this kid misses her mom. We need to get that mom back immediately, which, you know, is not the truth. She might miss her, but that hanging on to that thought is causing suffering. It's causing her to be disconnected. Even a reflection on the thought and a processing of the thought, and I love this about what Locke Kelly offers, even looking at thoughts and emotions as they arise is still at least a second off from direct experience. Have you noticed that? Because there's still something that needs to look. So the unhooking of orienting to what are the thoughts I need to be upset about first are really important. And once we can start to unhook from that, the rest is natural because it's our natural way of being. We've just been told that you need to look at your thoughts first. You need to look at your emotions because that's who you are. And it's the same thing as saying you need to look at your what you're hearing first because that's who you are. It's that equivalent, which I'm finding really helpful. thoughts are just energy patterns, just like sound waves are energy patterns. It's helpful information, but it's not the whole of reality. That's when he starts talking about embodied awake awareness, or awake awareness embodied, is seeing and being able to include all of these sensory inputs, but from the ground, the spacious awareness first. So this week, one of the practices is moving, just like what we did in the meditation, moving your awareness, your local awareness, the movability of awareness, down into another sense, like your ears or your touch. What is it like to, what is alive in your big toe or at the bottom of your foot? Is it always like that and you're just not paying attention? Yeah. When you're moving your awareness around, thoughts, while they might be there, are more in the background, which helps us develop a sense of not always turning to our thoughts first to define our reality. It's helpful information. Thoughts are helpful. Emotions are really helpful. But they're not who we are. So unhooking from seeing reality through that first, and then dropping this globe of awareness into some place in our inner body, or even sometimes he sends it up to the corner of the room, unhooking it from wherever we're stuck, and letting this local awareness, the movability of our awareness, merge with the ground of being, with spacious awareness. Becoming aware of open space. I do not like doing dishes. I have a dishwasher and I still let dishes pile up. It's just one of my things. Fortunately, I live alone, so no one has to be annoyed by it. And the cats don't care. But I thought, you know, I'm going to try something this morning. And I actually washed some things with my hands. And I sent local awareness into my hands, this sense of touch. And felt the aliveness of that sense of the water and the soap and the glass. Wasn't thinking, I was simply resting in this spaciousness. And that it was including everything. I would notice a thought occasionally, but it wasn't like I was first needing to see, okay, what is this? This is beyond a concept. In centering prayer, we talk about not labeling things first. You know, looking at what is arising without a label. What was it before we put a name on it? This is a similar type of practice. Because as soon as you put a label or a name or a thought pattern or an energy, there's a constriction, there's a confinement of this is what it is. There's a solid structure. What is arising in washing the dishes that's before a structure? Including all of it. And watching what kind of knowing gets developed from that. There is a knowing prior to thought that this is developing. And then letting it be. And this is where he says open-hearted awareness is online, where that compassion and creativity, the experience of interconnectedness and being able to live in love comes forward. where we're undistracted. Our mind might be doing its thing, but it's not, it's just like sounds. We can tune out sounds a lot of times. We can tune out our thoughts. We just not pay attention quite in the same way until we need to. So that's the call for this week, to continue to practice, to especially the unhooking practice. Because once you start to unhook, everything else will naturally come online. You up for it? Let's say together our affirmations as a way of really anchoring once again into this energy field. So together, I am unhooking. I am experiencing local awareness. I am aware of awareness. I am going through the gap of not knowing. I am having small glimpses many times. I am shifting into freedom.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.